Welcome, Tale Tellers. Pull up a seat. It's time for a cryptid info session. Lock all your doors extra tight for today's episode. We're looking at the vampire folklore and origin story from Malaysia. Today is a combination of a vampire and a ghost, and it's actually a variation of what the vampire myth is all about. The name of this creature also literally means detach. It's a direct translation. Oh. And you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, right? Well, I mean, the title does give it away. But let me be straight with you, Tale Tellers. Today's story is all about the Penanggalan. So, it's a vampire, but what does it look like? Well, this is the tricky part. They're human in the daytime, but vampiric at night. During the day, they appear normal, except for three telltale signs. They smell strongly of vinegar, I'll get to this later, always avoids all eye contact, and lick their lips around newborns. Because you see, they are suffering from a curse. In fact, not only a wasting curse, but a curse that's been put on them by something inhuman. Women turn into Penanggalan when they make a pact with the supernatural and break it, leading to the curse. Now I'll go over that in more detail in this episode, but let's dig a bit deeper. You see, in Malaysia, it's said that the women have made deals with the devil in the past, figuratively and, well, literally. They make a deal not to eat meat for 40 days in return for beauty and power. If they do eat meat for any reason, they become the Penanggalan. Tough gig, right? You make this deal with a supernatural creature, and your brother slips you some parcels with small bits of mince in it. Then, you're damned. I'm suddenly now really curious at my vegan friends. Do they have superpowers? Okay. Let me get back on track. There are multiple sources suggesting that these creatures are in fact created by black magic from the dead remains of women, or from a woman who became the mentee of the devil or a sorcerer. Other sources explain that the Penanggalan was first created when interrupting a religious penance ceremony in which the woman was bathing in a bathtub that used to hold vinegar, which relates to their vinegar smell. During the interruption, her head jerked up, leading to her head being torn from the body and the creature taking on a mind of its own. Full on. I get that feeling when I chat to some people. All sources, though, point to those key places of origin and where the threat of the Penanggalan vampirism started. The Penanggalan threat, though, its real threat, is at night, when they begin to change. Their body cavity shrinks, and their organs slip out from their neck and begin to levitate, after which they glide through the night sky, seeking newborns and their mothers. Once they find them, they feast, mainly on newborns, sometimes completely consuming the child, whilst others have said to only feed off the blood of the mother. The creature also has been known to remove the flesh off the body whole with its tongue, and is often the reason why doors are locked and family midwives are used after newborns are born, instead of strangers, or going to a hospital, due to the fear of these creatures attacking. Anyone who is fed on by these creatures of the night are struck with a wasting disease, only curable by a bomo, a Malaysian shaman. Altogether, pretty disgusting. If you remember me talking about the smelling of vinegar, well, not only is it about the bathtub of vinegar, it's also based on them returning to their bodies and the process about returning to their bodies. You see, at nighttime, their organs are wasting away. And part of this process to mitigate the wasting is to submerge their body in vinegar, to shrink the organs and clean them, making them fit easily into the body to resume normal life. If you know someone who hoards vinegar, well, I mean, the first question you need to ask is why the hell do they have so much vinegar? There's only so much salad to use that vinegar on. Then, wonder, could they be a Penanggalan? We can't be jumping to conclusions, alright? We just take it a step at a time. Vinegar for salads, and then vinegar to vampire. So, let's go over what they look like at night. Imagine at night time, you're walking through the field. How would you identify a Penanggalan? Besides them floating above you, with their organs exposed to the elements. Let's go through a couple of examples. Long, dark, tendril-like hair that appears to be floating as if it's suspended. They also use their hair as a tool to wrap humans in and interact with the world around them. They have deep-set, demonic eyes. Some say slits for eyes, often not staring at you, but in fact rolled back into its own head and violently shaking. Flesh wounds appear around its face, with red markings appearing all over its skin, which appear as ownership or branding in another language. Organs trailing behind them as they glide through the night sky, that's often a dead giveaway. And a long yet invisible tongue probing the sky for scent that oozes as it glides by. This is that same tongue that can strip the flesh right off your body. Now that we know what it looks like, let's go over how to stop these things. Once the Penanglang detaches from its body, find the husk and do one of two things. 1. Turn it over. Or 2. Pour glass in the husk cavity. So why would we turn the body over? Okay. When daylight lands, they'll be stuck with their heads on backwards, identifying them as the creature. And the last option was to pour glass in the cavity. Well, as soon as the organs retouch on entry inside the husk, they'll be met with shards of glass, lacerating the organs and killing it immediately. Other ways to stop this creature: stop its head from reaching its body before sunrise. So it's very similar to the old adage, you can't have a vampire out in daylight, so that hangs true. Hang thorns around your doorways, windowsills, and house floorboards to catch the creature's organs on, and to deter the creature. Pour earth and ash, or salt, on the husk of the body, sanctifying the body, and not allowing the husk to be used as a vessel. And lastly, for some things you might not know, for those people who are quite savvy when it comes to vampiric knowledge, Penanglang are scared of scissors or betel nut crushers. They can't go near them. So you put them under your pillow and they won't come near you at night. And the last thing for things you might not know, thorn vine around windowsills starting from the floorboards to the window will stop the Penanglang from oozing through the floorboards to reach the children. Now that protection is definitely unique. Okay, now that we know where they came from, what they are, what they do, and how to stop them, I'll end this episode with a short story about the creature itself. This folktale is from The Malaysian Peninsula by James Begbie and Diptendra M. Banerjee in 1834. The Malays state the man had two wives, the one black and the other white, who were both Penanglangs, of which he didn't know were Penanglangs. He was informed of the circumstance, but scarcely credited it. In order to ascertain the fact, he feigned the journey for some days, and the women, believing him to have left the house, departed on a Penanglang trip, leaving their bodies behind. The husband then changed the position of the bodies, putting the body of the black wife in the place of the white wife, and vice versa. On the return of the women, with their entrails amazingly swollen from their foul banquet, each entered a jar of vinegar in order to diminish their size, and then reanimated the bodies, but, unknown to themselves, effected an exchange, the white one entering the black body, and the black one the other, as they had not noticed the substitution. The husband came in and said, "Ha! What is this? The head and neck are black, and the body white, and the other is black, with a white head and neck?" He reported the circumstance to the king, who ordered them both to be put to death. Okay, telltellers, that's today's episode. I hope you're suitably creeped out. Now, if you like this episode, please show me. Take 2 seconds to hit that like button. It does go a long way, I really do appreciate it. If you have anything to say, well, just say it. Pop it in the comments just below. Oh, and if you have any requests, I'll not only do them, but include you in the shout-out. Also, in the description, I'll include the previous vampire episode as a tie-in for more information around vampires. It covers the origin story of vampires as well. Before I go, I want to do some shout-outs for some of my biggest fans. Fire Smoke, for listening to lots of these episodes and sending me a lot of like love. Uzeel J US Music for listening to my episodes, Goonway Dre, Ant, the KNA Podcast, Jody Hosang, Brojaga, Ray Bay, and lastly but not least, Kev Stu Low. A huge thank you for sending me your likes and listening. And a huge thank you to you, Telltellers, for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And as always, till next time.